It's so good to see you. Some of you I have not seen for 3 months. And it's so great to see your smiling face and to be a part of the fellowship and the body of Christ. The scripture was read. We're returning to the same chapter we were in last week. This great resurrection chapter in Luke chapter 24. Last week I spoke about resurrection joy. And today we're returning to the same chapter, and my message is walking with the risen Lord. God delights to walk with his children and talk with them along the way. He walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. We read that because of grace, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God. We also read in Genesis that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Walking with God is what God wants to do with his children, but sin has separated between God and man. Because of sin, God can no longer walk or talk or fellowship with us anymore. We're the crown of his creation. We were made in his likeness, after his image, and he wants to fellowship with us. So our Heavenly Father so loved this world, he wanted to restore that fellowship, and he sent his Son to reconcile this prodigal world unto himself. And because of Calvary and the cross, and because of the sacrifice and the empty tomb, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, to simplify that theological term, reconcile means to bring together offended people. There on the cross, pierced hands with arms outstretched, Jesus brought God and man together again. It's called atonement, simplified terms, at-one-ment. He brought us together again. Jesus died for our sins. He arose from the dead. He's alive, and he walks and talks with his children once more. And I ask you this morning, do you walk in faith and love? Are you walking with Jesus today? Do you know the joy that is ours in walking with the Lord? William Cowper, that great English poet, said, "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a common, a heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb." And certainly that's the road that we want to travel. Let me say this, walking with the risen Lord must be continual. Twice in the text, it is said that they walked in the way. And there's only one way. The way is not some maze or hard to follow obstacle. The way is a person. And the way that we walk with the Lord is to walk in the person of Christ. After birth, after our natural birth, one of the first things that we accomplish is standing and then walking and then talking. And the parent is just excited when that child can stand and walk, and they make a big thing of it. And walking is something we do every day. From the very first thing in the morning, we get out of bed and we walk. And we walk all day long. Spiritually, we were born into the family of God. We become God's children. And we're to learn to walk daily with the Lord. It's a way of life. Jesus said, "I am the way to the Father's house." And as we walk with the risen Lord, we must walk continually. Never draw back. Never stop. Just keep walking with our Lord, and he'll walk with us. He'll walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death into his visible presence, and we will be with him forever. Walking is something that isn't very common today. Someone said it needs to be revived, the art of walking. But as a Christian, we should be renewed in our strength. And it says you will run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Walking. Vance Havner said today, to see a person walk, you think one of two things. They're either out of gas or out of their mind. People just don't do that today, but walking, they say, is one of the greatest things for your health. Secondly, walking with the risen Lord means going in the same direction. In verse 15, he joined them, and they walked that day from Jerusalem, where our Lord resurrected, to a town called Emmaus. The prophet said, can two walk together except they be agreed, unless they be together? If we're going to walk with our Lord, we must follow his steps with singleness of heart. If we're going to walk, we must walk in his direction. If we've been crucified with Christ, the life which we now live, we should live by faith. We should walk in newness of life. We must go his direction. God said in the book of Leviticus, I will walk among you, but if you walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. If we draw nigh to God, James says, he will draw nigh to us. And this is how we're to walk. Peter said, Jesus has left us an example that we should follow his steps. John put it this way, he that saith he abideth in Christ ought to walk even as Christ walked. Can two walk together except they have met? Then walking with the risen Lord must not be taken lightly. Jesus made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him and said, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. They constrained him. They pressed him. They desired him. They desired his presence. And God will give us the desire of our heart if it's set on him. No good thing, the Bible says, will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. Let me ask you this morning, how is your fellowship with God? Do you walk in sweet, unbroken fellowship, or are you tossed like the wave and driven with every wind that blows? You must never take your Lord's presence lightly. The day is going to be far spent. Shadows are gathering. Deathbeds are coming. You must walk with him in life and in health if you want him in the days of sickness and death. You must abide in Jesus and walk hand in hand in him if you're going to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, if you abide in me. And the victorious Christian life really is the abiding presence of Jesus Christ. Walking with the risen Lord involves others. We read in this chapter, verses 13 and 14, they walked together. The Lord was with them. Jesus said, where you're gathered together, two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. And walking with Jesus means walking with others. For we're members of his body, we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I love my wife. She's in our service today. She's in every service. She's the one that gives me signals that you don't know anything about. But after traveling, walking together for 60 years, I know those little gestures and thoughts. But I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. They're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. No man ever hates his own flesh unless he's abnormal, unless he's sick. God said, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? It's just natural to love your own. Now, there is coming a day when Paul said men will be without natural affection. They'll abort a child and think it's their right to do so. Jesus said they'll kill you and think you're doing God favor. That is sin. But no normal Christian can hate his brother or sister. They're part of the body of Christ. They're bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We're to love the brethren. You cannot walk with the risen Lord unless you walk with his children. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The early church had everything in common. They were together. And then walking with the risen Lord means open communication. Several times in this chapter, it says they talked one to another. And when you walk with Jesus, that tongue of yours will be seasoned with grace, and your yea will be yea and your nay, nay. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Let that tongue be winsome and gracious, never unwholesome. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They conversed one with another. Jesus, it says in verse 32, talked to us by the way. The good shepherd speaks, and the sheep hear his voice. Jesus, the shepherd, calls his own by name, and if you walk with him and talk with him, he'll assure you that you're his. They talked about what had happened. They talked about the resurrection. And if you walk with the risen Lord, you cannot but help speak of the things which you've seen and heard. You're his witness. God says, I've chosen you. You're my witness. Communication is so very important. Dwight L. Moody was saved at the age of 18. That great witness for Christ started bringing people into the church. He had to rent pews in his church, and he'd rent three or four pews and brought people in, lead them to Christ and bring them in. And finally, the church said, those kind of people aren't for us, and Moody had to leave. But Moody said this at the age of 18. I want to witness to one person a day, and if God gives me the allotted time of 70 years, and I'm 20 now, if I could live to be 70, I will have personally spoken to 18,000 people. Now, that may not sound like a lot to you, but they're everywhere. They're in the stores, they're in the highways and byways. Just a word. You ought to be able to say a word for Jesus. You ought to be able to say Jesus loves you. Jesus can save you. And that may start something in their mind that would go on and on. Communication. We communicate with our family and friends and neighbors, and if we're walking with Christ, it'll be communication. Zig Ziglar told the story of a woman who went to her pastor for counseling. And after some preliminaries, the pastor said to the woman, trying to find the problem with the marriage, he said, do you have any grounds? Oh, she said, yes, we have 20 acres outside of town. And he said, no, madam, that's not what I mean. Do you have a grudge? Oh, she said, no, we don't have a garage. We have a carport. And that's good enough. It has served us well. And he was trying to get down and find out what the problem was. And he says, does your husband beat you up? Why, heavens no, I'm out of bed every morning before he is. And the pastor was exasperated, and he finally said, lady, you don't understand me. What is the problem between you and your husband? And she said this, the man just doesn't know how to communicate. Now, communication is so important. Walking with the risen Lord shortens the journey and lightens the load. The King James Version said this was 60 furlongs. The better translation, 60 furlongs. A furlong was the distance around a coliseum or a stadium, 660 feet or 220 yards, an eighth of a mile around that track. And it was 60 furlongs, or about 7.5 miles, and they were walking that distance. That's quite a chore. That's quite a distance. But certainly the way was shortened as they walked with Jesus. A London newspaper gave a cash gift to the person who could best tell them the shortest way from one place to London. And the one who won the cash prize was this: the shortest way to London is good company. Walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus, and they sat at meat, and their hearts began to rejoice, their eyes were opened, the burden was lifted, and they were thinking about other things, and now their eyes were on Jesus. And as they walked and talked with Jesus, the load certainly was lightened. The hymn writer said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Are you walking with Jesus? Can you say to yourself, why are you cast down? I'm going to hope in God. Walking with the risen Lord creates a burning heart. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us and walked with us and while he broke bread with us? That cold, lukewarm heart will be set afire if Jesus dwells in your heart by faith. If you walk in the Spirit, you will be a burning and a shining light that'll shine more and more into that perfect day. Walking with Jesus will stir your soul, it'll warm your heart. Keep walking with Jesus in the way. Walk with Jesus, and that slow heart will become ablaze. Dr. Charles Weigel, who wrote, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus," was in Pasadena, California, holding meetings. And one day he spent the whole day at a rose garden, the whole afternoon at the rose garden. And when he returned to the place where they were having the meeting that evening, a man said to him, "I know where you've been. I can smell the aroma. You've been at the rose garden." And Dr. Weigel said, "Yes." Then he said, "My prayer is that I may walk so close to Jesus that the fragrance of his grace will permeate my being. I want him to know by my words and by my actions I have been with Jesus." Walking with Jesus always involved the Word. As they walked with Jesus to Emmaus, he opened to them the Scriptures. He expounded to them. And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, there are hundreds of references to the Messiah in the Old Testament. He opened the Scriptures concerning himself because the Scriptures testifies to him. And as you walk with Jesus, he'll open to you the Scriptures. You don't walk in the imagination of your heart. You walk in the light of the Word of God. You must live by every word as you walk with the risen Christ, and his word will be like fresh manna to your soul. It'll be fresh manna to your soul. He'll expound the word. He'll open it. That word will fall like seed in the soil of your heart and bring forth fruit. If you walk with the risen Lord, his word will be more precious to you than all the books in all the libraries of the world. It'll be more precious to you than gold and silver and sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. The word of God will convert your soul. It'll give wisdom to your mind. It'll direct you in your daily life. But you cannot walk with the risen Lord and walk contrary to his word. William Penn, the founder of this commonwealth, was one time told by the Indians, they said to him, "We like you, so we'll give you as much land today as you can walk." They didn't think he would take him up on it, but he did. And William Penn started early in the morning, walked all day, and when he was through walking, he walked the whole area, which would be the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. And they were surprised. Now God says to us, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I'll give it to you. That's the 2-foot rule. Do it. We should take him at his word. When we were going to buy the land to build the church in Clearfield, we needed land. There was 30 acres there that was up for sale, and it was on the market, and the purchase was being made. And I went to the man's lawyer, and the lawyer said, "Forget it, the deal's done." So I went out and walked around that land, the 2-foot rule, just believing that maybe God could intervene and undertake. The next week, their lawyer called and said, "That fell through. You can buy the land." Well, thank the Lord. Now, when he told me the price, $250,000, 45 years ago, I said, okay, we'll get it. Walking with Jesus is a foretaste of glory. It says in verse 29, shouldn't Christ suffer and die and enter into glory? Walking with the risen, ascended, and glorified Christ is what the walk is all about. If you walk with him here, you'll walk with him in glory. The question is often asked, what is heaven like? I want to say to you that the door is ajar to that city that lies four square. And as we look in through those gates, as John Bunyan put it, as they stand ajar, there will be light and health and fellowship. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. We will see him face to face. We'll walk with him. Jesus said, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. None of us are fit for the kingdom, but because of Calvary, we will be. And Paul says, we've been elected, we've been chosen, we've been predestinated, we've been called, we've been justified, and we're going to be glorified. Walking with Jesus means there's going to be walking with him in glory. We're not only going to see his glory, we're going to walk with him. I like the way G. Campbell Morgan put Enoch's walk with God. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way, that Enoch walked with God every day, took longer walks. And one day God said to Enoch, you're closer to my house than we are your house. Why don't you spend the night with me? Well, we know there's no night in heaven, so Enoch naturally is there. My friend, I ask you, are you walking with Jesus? Walking means it's nonstop. I read Guinness World Record, that the world record walking is 121 miles in one day. A man started at 8, walked 24 hours, fast pace. That would be like walking almost from Clearfield to Pittsburgh in one day. That'd be a nice walk, wouldn't it? Well, let me tell you, our walk with Christ is more than 121 miles. It's going to be forever. We're going to walk over glory with Jesus. We're not only going to see his glory and behold it, we're going to walk with him in glory. I like what the hymn writer said. It is glory just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me. It is rapture for my soul each day. It is joy divine to feel him near whenever the path may be. Bless the Lord, it's glory all the way. It is glory when the shadows fall to know that he is near. Oh, what joy to simply trust and pray. It is glory to abide in him when skies above are clear. Yea, with him it's glory all the way. 'Twill be glory when I walk with him on heaven's golden shore, never from his side again to stray. 'Twill be glory, wondrous glory, with my Savior evermore, everlasting glory all the way. Oh, it's glory just to walk with Jesus. I ask you again this morning, are you walking with the risen Lord? Are you walking wisely, submissively? The prophet Micah says, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your precious word. We know that our Savior was crucified and died in our place, but he's risen and ascended and glorified. And Father, we thank you today that we can walk with him in this pilgrim way. I would pray for that person today who may be in difficult times. May they put their hand in your hand and hear your voice. And Father, if there's one here who is not walking with you, that they would change their directions in Christ's name. pray.